You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're listening to the Cooligans. In the first segment, we talk about Copa America. It's like the Euros with a little bit of sazon. USA versus Costa Rica, four amazing goal. John Brooks slapping them goals with them balls away with his forehead. Absolutely incredible, clearing everything out of the way. We won the group, and we get to play not Argentina, but Ecuador. Thank you. Thank you very much. We also talk about all the videos we're doing with Flama. It's absolutely amazing. We're live all the time on Facebook.com/TheFlama.
Also, in segment number two, we're talking about France. Paris, oh my God, the Euros have begun. Great, France looks great. Giroud is scoring a goal. He's doing it for everybody besides Arsenal. France against Albania, England against Russia. That's so England. Another failure by England. Vasil Berezulski. We'll get the name right in the show. Portugal against Iceland. So much smack talk. Fights. Italy against Belgium. What is wrong with Belgium?
Oh, man. In the third segment, we talk about Messi destroying a goalkeeper and nutmegging him. That guy's retired. They burned all the records that show he's ever played. We talk about the Chicago Academy getting the honor of having Messi train with them. Messi thanks them so much. He swapped jerseys with all those children. We talk about LA Galaxy doing the worst thing you can do to a team, which is scoring while a player is down. The only thing you can do worse than that is be Joachim Low and smell your own nutsack.
Today on the Cooligans.
Hi, this is Kyrie Shelton from New York City FC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm RJ Allen for New York City Football Club, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Ian Joy, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hey, everybody. Yeah. Welcome back to the Cooligans.
It's the Cooligans. Thank you so much for listening. So many fun, exciting. It's the summer of soccer.
What a great, even since the last episode, so many things have happened.
So many. It seems like it's been 3 weeks since we recorded an episode because so many things are happening.
It's been a...
If you're monitoring our relationships, we're both still together with our significant others. Soccer has not driven us apart just yet.
I know. Well, you know, we're only in the quarterfinals, so there's still time.
Yeah, and that's just of the Copa. group stage is still going on in the Euros. Man, it's so, you know...
Look, and not only for soccer, but for the Cooligans in general, there's been so much goddamn stuff happening. We've been on this little thing called the internet quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. It seems to be something that a lot of people are using.
It's a hit. It's a hit with the kids.
It's a hit officially. We looked at the numbers, and it's gone certified platinum.
Everything's adding up. If you've noticed, the Cooligans, we've been posting a lot about this. We are developing, a partnership. Is that what I guess we can say?
Let's just say. A relationship.
We're certainly very casual,
very casual.
We text, but they take a couple days to text back. They really mess with our emotions.
Yeah, a couple of sexts going back and forth.
Yeah, so it's there's evidence that there could be something. This could be the real thing,
right? And we met online. Very modern. But if you guys are wondering what it is that we're alluding to, take a step back. Facebook Live is something that's really new, and we've done a couple of videos on YouTube. Nothing that we've necessarily fully committed to, although it's certainly a part of what we do here. The podcast has probably been the most consistent thing because this is something that we're both very, very easy for us as comedians.
Yeah, exactly.
When Facebook Live sprung up, we started to do it and we thought it was a lot of fun and we got a great reaction from our fans, and we didn't spend a ton of time on Facebook before that. We posted a lot of news bits, but it wasn't something that
we were mostly focusing on, talking to people on Twitter, Instagram and stuff like that,
but maybe Vine for a little bit.
Yeah.
But it seems like at this point, we started doing Facebook Live and it was amazing interacting with you guys and hearing from you guys. And we loved it. We really enjoyed it. And who else did besides a company that does a lot of videos? I would say it's like the Latin American Funny or Die. I mean, is that?
Yeah. Or even maybe more specifically, like above average.
Yeah.
The Latin American above average.
Yeah, very much so. All right, cool. So a bunch of videos for them that we've been in. As comedians, they've asked us to be in a bunch of stuff. Also that we're Latin American. We fit a lot of the subject matter that they speak about and we can speak to it. Mm-hmm. And they saw what we were doing and they seem to have enjoyed it. And they asked us to do live for them.
Yeah, so...
Here's the big difference. When we started doing live on our channel, we had 99 followers on our Facebook Live. I believe it's a 1,000% jump.
Give or take, yeah.
1,000% jump. So they have over a million followers.
So the company is they're called Flama. Flama is owned by Univision.
Univision.
Univision for my English speakers on here. But... so they asked us to do Facebook Live and talk about Copa America Centenario to their fans, their million subscribers, which is, we've never been in front of that many people.
No. Well, speak for yourself. Every one of the bar shows I've ever done has had at least a million people there.
When you add them all together.
Yeah. When you, it probably still doesn't. It's an unprecedented opportunity for us.
So we've done two videos for, three total videos. Three broadcasts and for Flama. You can check them out on facebook.com/theflama. We also posted it on our Facebook page.
On the Cooligans.
On the Facebook.com Soccer Cooligans. So you can check those out. So we had some like fun little interaction with fans. We talked to them. We, you know, bullshitted, so as they say.
If you will. We set up a couple challenges for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, to just make it a little bit more interesting as far as who wins, because, you know, Polanco, I think the first match we saw was Uruguay versus Venezuela.
Yeah.
I'm half Uruguayan, so there was a lot of fun. You know, a lot of excitement on my end as far as watching the match. But we decided to add a wrinkle to it. We challenged each other. And then the next one is Mexico versus Venezuela. And we thought Venezuela would pull that out. So we also did another challenge there. A lot of fun, guys. If you get a chance, watch it. Hit the like button.
Yeah,
on there that you want to see more, because we're starting to build up and they seem to really be liking it. We want to do more with them. We like talking to a million people.
It's kind of cool talking to a million people at the same time. That's surreal. Yeah.
It's pretty insane.
But we had a blast doing that. Thank you, Flama, for having us do that. And, you know, I believe we may be doing more. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, super exciting. And just as exciting as Copa America has been. Oh, man.
Wait, are you saying the videos we've done for Flama are as exciting as the Copa America Centenario?
It's been just as exciting as watching Copa America.
It is equivalent. Yeah, you'll get the same...
Why even watch Copa America? Is what I'm saying.
There's no point. Yeah, you can get this.
Just watch me and Polanco. Blend in Arepa. Why watch soccer players?
Blend the Arepa sounds like a new dance move. That's gonna come. Blend the Arepa.
Don't say it too loud. It'll be on the next Drake album.
Appropriation.
I mean, Copa America, Euros, slow start. I think we could all agree.
Yeah, and so this was a big deal. You know, the two continents sort of against each other, or three continents, you could say.
Right.
And we sort of all expect, you know, Jurgen Klinsmann even said that there was, you know, and this is like sort of the pre-match, the pre-tournament smack talk, like a boxer would do, like, you know, like,
right,
you know, rest his soul, Muhammad Ali. Yeah, you could talk a lot of smack. You gain interest in the match, right, you know, in the tournament.
Let's just say got a little rough at the weigh-in.
Exactly. Yeah. So Jurgen Klinsmann was doing this. He was like, we got better quality in CONCACAF and CONMEBOL and all this. And people are like, yo, Jurgen, you're out of your goddamn mind.
You drinking too much high fructose corn syrup the Kool-Aid.
Monsanto clearly got to you because you don't know your chemical, chemicals in your brain.
Zika virus has gotten to Jurgen Klinsmann.
But, you know, Copa America started the group stages. And look, even from the first couple games, it was already getting exciting. And
I think the first three matches were weird. And you know what? I got to give Euros, and we'll talk about Euros later. But, you know, the first three matches were weird. A couple 0-0 draws. Maybe one goal was scored in one of them. The first three matches were... But I mean, it was just like, oh, we're all ready to go. Everybody cracked their knuckles, took their earrings off, snapped off the fake nails, told one girl, hold my purse, put Vaseline on the face, and they went at it.
This was just Colombia, by the way.
Yeah. This is their new dance when they score. I don't know if you've watched. Enough, James, enough.
Yeah, and second game and the third game.
Colombia, USA was... exciting for all the wrong reasons if you're an American fan.
Exactly. Yeah, we talked about it briefly in the last podcast. Yeah. But compared to the Euros, that first week of the Euros, Copa America has blown it out.
It's dull. It's very dull.
Euros are... I mean, yeah, I'm not going to say it's not awful.
No, it's fun. It's still fun soccer. And you got great stories like Albania. It's the first time ever. Slovakia is the first time ever as a country.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't even been a country that long. NYCFC fans would be great. Would remember Adam Nemec, who had a chance to draw and missed a completely wide open goal. So a little memory of the first season of NYCFC.
Exactly.
It's been kind of dull. Still some exciting stories.
It's a very, the games are slower. That's what, yeah. Like, if we're comparing Euro and Copa America, the Euro games are significantly slower.
Right.
It's very, very defensive.
You know what it is?
Very,
you know,
cautious. Like, it feels like Chelsea playing Chelsea, you know?
Yeah,
like,
very much so. Hey, to me, they're both dancing, but the Euros are like your aunt and her husband who don't have kids, and they go to like tango lessons. And this is them doing the tango like in a very professional way. Beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
Everyone is sitting and enjoying it, right? The Copa America, you just woke up from a Molly. Your face is Adderall nauseous.
Yeah.
And you are in a rave, man. It is lights smoke machine.
This character.
Oh, man. Hey, look, sometimes it's a bit much for me to watch South American soccer because I'm like, what if you trapped the ball? Why are we constantly ping-ponging it back and forth? And I don't think that the European style is the perfect style. I think it's easier on the eye, but it is a bit duller. South American style, man, watching teams like Chile play.
Chile especially, I feel like they sort of merge both of those styles to some degree. Because they're up front, they do play that tiki-taka, but
right.
At the back, they're just strong.
They're super strong. And it's so wild. It's like they're both playing electric guitar, but like, you know, South America just turns up the volume a little bit,
yeah,
and they're just thrashing it, you know, whereas we're a little bit of jazz going on in Europe. Beautiful. Awesome. You know,
yeah,
improvised.
It's the shots you don't see.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I mean, South America is just like, it's just wild.
South America is the guitar player in Mad Max. You
in
know?
The front of the thing. That's just what I was thinking. Yeah. I don't know that guy's name. He's famous.
Yeah.
You know, a meme. But why do you have a guy swinging from a great movie. What a dumb movie.
Oh, that movie was beautiful.
So stupid. But, you know, it's a lot of excitement. And because of that, you never know who's going to win. I mean, you just don't know where the ball's going.
Yeah. And even like the teams are sort of adapting to that style. That
right.
Even the U.S. matches have been exciting, fun.
Right.
And it's not really, you don't really see too much style necessarily from U.S. games.
I feel like America doesn't really have a style just yet.
But I think they adapt to who they're playing. Because in the World Cup,
right.
I feel like they were playing like sort of the European teams, a little bit more cautious. But
that 4-2-3-1.
More defensive.
But like a bit more defensive, yeah.
But everybody...
Actually, they were playing that 4-4-2.
The U.S. against Costa Rica, 4-0. Class goals from every... Jermaine Jones with that goal.
I can't even talk about it. He hit that curler against Germany, right?
Yeah, that was the last time he scored for the U.S., by the way.
And then he hits that. It's the same, but on the floor, on the ground.
Yeah.
It was wild. Seems like he's one of the, and we talk about this all the time. I yell it all the time. Test the keeper is something I yell all the time. And it's something that as an Arsenal fan, I'm prepared to yell that because they try to walk it in. One thing I don't like about Jurgen Klinsmann's tactics is that America has kind of turned into that where before maybe it was just Landon Donovan style and Clint Dempsey style when he was a little younger. They seem to like, you know, you get an inch away from your defender, you're within, you know, 20 yards, pop a shot. Let's see what happens, you know? And I think too many times we're trying to sort of get the perfect pass, the perfect open shot. You know, I get it. And it does seem like more beautiful football that way, but it's not necessary.
Yeah. At the very least, I think the up front, the U.S. looks a little, I'm not going to say like they're just uber confident necessarily.
Well,
but
how could you be with Giazzi Zardes?
But that's the thing. But I think they're going for it. They're going for shots. They're going for opportunities. Bobby Wood has been stellar. Really brought that Bundesliga, I'm going to take shots, dog. Like,
yeah. Oh, you want to see shots? He is like white girls in Cabo. Just shots.
Really, you know, it's nice to have. Look, I'm not saying Bobby Wood is like Landon Donovan, but it's nice to see that. Look, I'm good enough to be here. I'm good enough to be up front.
Right.
And I can take strong, confident shots.
What I love about him is he doesn't have the hype that Landon Donovan had around him. And this is something Landon Donovan can't. Landon can't control this, so I don't want to come across as I'm blaming him, but he always seemed like he had to live up to something. Bobby Wood doesn't have to live up to anything. Take the skills you've learned, go out there and use them, and that's exactly what he's doing. There's more pressure on, you know, Michael Bradley. There's more pressure on Alejandro Bedoya. There's more pressure on these other guys. Fabian Johnson has a bit more pressure for some strange reason. I don't know why. He's our left back. He's obviously a midfielder and a winger. Please be forward.
But he's so good. He's so good.
Yedlin, is he allowed back on the team yet? Who knows? There's all these other players that have so many more eyes on them. Pulisic is on the bench and he has more pressure on him.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah, Bobby Wood kind of goes under the radar.
Which is perfect for him because he seems to like excel in that situation, you know?
He's like being able to do what he does without the sort of media pressure that like Pulisic is getting and Bradley and other people. But look, the U.S. against Costa Rica, great. That bounce back from after the Colombia match, you could not ask for more. It was.
If you're a traveling fan, at the beginning of the match, you could see the tentativeness.
Yeah.
You know, the fans were like, yeah, we're excited. We're here. We're singing. But oh my God, how is this going to turn out? Mm-hmm. Even against Paraguay. I mean, as tough as it is, Paraguay is not an incredible footballing nation. Mm-hmm. They should be easy for us to beat. And let me ask you, because I don't think we talked about this. Did you walk in with a high level of confidence to that match
against Paraguay? Not a high level, but I did think they would win.
Did you?
I did think that.
I was cautiously worried that maybe they wouldn't. Paraguay would come in and show up and play defensively and strike us on the counter. But we played pretty great. And we held our own 10 men. I mean, it was.
If you, for whatever reason, you did not see this match, I mean, USA,
but
Paraguay.
You're listening to us? How is that possible?
1-0. They won. And they up in the first, there was a great cross from Jazzy Zardes. A miracle.
Right.
Just a great pass.
Or was that his first touch? did his first touch go sailing across the face of the goal?
So, and it was a great cross, and it went right to Dempsey. He played so perfectly positioned, and knocked it in. It was a great,
great.
It was a great shot. And, but after the first half, in the right, 2 minutes, 3 minutes in.
Yeah, practically played down to 10 men the whole second half because what you're about to say is Yedlin gets...
DeAndre Yedlin.
To Yedlin.
They're going to change the name. Like,
Oh, did you get it to Yedlin? Oof, tough. Tough day for you. He got two yellow cards in the span of a minute and a half.
I think it was like 58 seconds.
So
very bad. So a slide tackle that was... just a poor one. You can understand why you would get a card. He did get the ball first, but he went through the player.
Right.
So look, that's deserved yellow.
That's going to happen.
Then mere moments after a pass, basically near like out of bounds into like the center half. Right. And
he decides to go through the back of the player.
He went too hard. He went too hard in the paint, as they say.
He went too hard. Yeah. I know all about that.
And immediately another yellow, and the ref was like, you gotta be, even the ref was like, come on, dog. Like, why are you putting me in this position?
It reminded me of like when, because even the defender was like, I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
The defender was like, I didn't want that to happen either. You know, it was like, the other player was like, I mean, that's not, no one wanted that to happen. But yeah, it's one of those situations where like, here we are. But I got to give the USA credit. They bunkered down. And they basically held on. They bent but didn't break. And I mean, a new star appeared in the sky.
Oh my goodness!
And his name is John Amazing Brooks.
I like to call him JB Smoove.
JB Smoove. His goal against Ghana, right? In the World Cup.
Yeah, huge.
Where he looked like he was as surprised as everyone. He had the dream before.
Yeah,
he must have had a dream that he was just bulletproof because that's exactly what happened. He was. Just everything that came near him cleared out. He was yelling at everyone. Exactly what we've always wanted to see.
A leader.
An absolute 100% a leader out there. Just like he's one of those teachers that you're like, no, he's so hard on us. But then as soon as you graduate high school, you're like, oh, I miss him the most.
Yeah, you're like, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Yeah. You changed me, man.
You changed me, bro. And you're like, I want to shake your hand. He just slaps your hand. He heads your hand out of the way. that's exactly who he is, man.
And it's going to go down in U.S., soccer history, that 3-1 that Brooks stop was unreal.
If you're Paraguay, what goes through your head when you're like, how many of this guy are there out there? I mean, I think he was covering all three of us. Yeah. How's that possible?
I mean, he's clearly he's a big dude. He's an imposing figure. Yeah. He looks like he's like 6'4", 6'5".
And he is top tall. Like most of his weight seems to be in his upper body.
Long torso, you know?
Yeah, swimmer's body, if you will. Top tall. He doesn't seem to be one of those like, he's not like fit. He's in shape, but he's not like jacked.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he does have a slightly portly build to him.
He doesn't
him.
Have like a forward body.
No, not at all. No. So he looks like an old school center back.
Yeah, he's just a big dude.
Just
yeah.
a big dude.
Like
Tim Howard, two years after retirement.
Reminds me of Huth from Leicester City.
Yes, yes,
like
yes.
That big. Now, Wes Morgan is big, shoulder. Yeah. He's not really that.
Not that
but
guy.
Huth is, he's more like that.
Huth is like, you know, is he a construction worker or a soccer player? That's what you think.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, why is he catcalling women from the back line? Yeah, yeah.
Also, take off that hard hat. You must be sweating. One of the things that I love about the people that we're talking about Brooks, we're talking about Wood. Even Guzan, which makes some crazy mistakes sometimes, but he stands on his head another moment.
He was great against Paraguay.
These are all guys that are tested in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, and Pulisic looks incredible. Again, you know, getting chances at Dortmund. You know, he's going to be in European competition if he starts next year. And these are all things that are great for and I think it's tough to talk about this because I know that we have fans that are very pro MLS. As we are, so we're not necessarily saying that it's a bad thing that, you know, it's a good thing that he's not in the MLS or these players aren't in the MLS. But I think we're seeing what a slightly different level of competition can bring to our national team. And I don't think that it's necessarily claiming that Jurgen is 100% right.
So where did Yellen get those skills from?
Learned a little bit, but you got to admit he came in this year
and he was great. Besides those plays, Yellen was great.
Refinement that he's got under Sam Allardyce is absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the Sunderland deal went through. I know that they were thinking about putting in a full offer for him.
Yeah, hopefully he stays. He'll get playing time, and you know, you don't want him at Tottenham. So
no, we absolutely don't. And I also don't want him back in the MLS because I believe he's learning those additional skills. He was one of the, I would say, like top five defender in the MLS. He's not top five defender on his club yet. So I think this is a different level of competition for him to learn even more. And I mean, this is absolutely incredible. And how long of a run? I mean, do we think? I know everyone says if they get to the quarterfinals, the semifinals, that's a big deal. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, so the U.S. ended up winning the group, right? No one expected that. So this is huge already for Klinsmann and his tenure. And this we're going into the quarterfinals much more positive, and optimistic than we ever thought we could be.
Unless you're a Klinsmann detractor, in which case you're like, damn it.
But
group of death and now this, you know?
So quarterfinals US against Ecuador, and Ecuador looks good. I mean, Valencia, from Manchester United, who's probably not coming back to Manchester United, but because Mourinho just cleaning up.
Yeah, Mourinho is cleaning house. I mean,
but Valencia looks great, and I forgot who plays in the left wing. I forgot his name, but he's also very good. It's going to be tough, especially since Yedlin is gone. He got that red card, so he has to miss the quarterfinal. But the game is in Seattle, right? So this is, I mean, there's no better home field advantage, you know? Like
other than Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus or like, you know, in Borussia Dortmund, that yellow wall or whatever. This is the equivalent. This is as good as we have
for fan base. Absolutely. This is, they're going to be loud and crazy and rowdy. I wish they had a covered stadium just to hold all that noise in. You know?
Just the echoes are banging around the noise.
Yeah. Everyone's like, are they standing next to me?
Why are their ears bleeding?
Yeah. I don't think that's healthy. Every time there's a header, it just splashes out. Oh man. And you know what? It's in American football, they are considered the 12th man, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And for soccer, please be the same thing.
Yeah.
Get out there and root for these boys.
It's going to be great. Amazing. The game is today. You'll watch it later today. And yeah. I think there's a real chance. I mean, the US, they look, the last two matches, they look strong, they look confident, and they're not making mistakes, which is outside of the Colombia game with two clean sheets.
Right.
That's a you're going into this match pretty confident.
Right. And it's the same lineup.
Yeah, which, outside of Yedlin.
Right. Well, exactly. And maybe he will have to switch it up a little bit from that. But what are the
Orozco should be starting, Michael Orozco.
Yeah. I argued who should start the second match after a really poor showing against Colombia. And I'm embarrassed I did that, because you do build this type of confidence by using the same lineup, yeah. You know? And it's something that Jürgen hasn't done enough of. And I'm really impressed with his ability to do it. It makes me feel like he has a plan. You know, like, you know, when someone goes, there's a method to the madness. Sometimes I argue he's playing players out of position. Things are going nuts. Seems like he understands what he's doing.
Yeah, it seems.
Am I saying that only because they won twice? Maybe.
Maybe, but yeah. You know, there's at the very least the players seem to be listening to that message or trusting in his belief. Like, look, yeah, you might be playing out of position,
right?
But you're going to be really good in this role. Like, you know, Fabian Johnson. Yeah. Should he be in the midfield? Probably.
I would say so.
But does he make good decisions at left back?
Yes.
He does.
Yeah.
You know?
And it also begs the question that why play someone out of position if he's not lumbering forward in every single, you know, offensive opportunity? Then what does that mean? That means that we don't have a comparable left back.
Yeah,
that's better than someone who's playing out of position, which again calls into our development.
Yeah, yeah, it is a concern. But in general, the midfield, I think that they seem reliable.
Yeah.
Bedoya has.
Oh, man.
He's been good, man.
He came back a grown ass man.
Strong, just like really, you know, putting in his shoulders into everybody, man.
Nah, son, that ponytail got magic in it. He slots on.
So they look good. I mean, I'm going in very confident. I think they can really win this match. I mean, outside of you know,
no reason why they can't beat Ecuador. There's none.
And but not having Yedlin is a little bit of a concern,
especially since they have speed.
You know, and you know you notice after these two victories, like the talking points have changed a lot, you know, because it was always, where's Nagby? Where's Pulisic? All that. And after those two, like, sort of confident and strong victories, you're like, I don't know. Are they going to mess up the chemistry that's already kind of there?
You know, it's people say, like, in American football, when there's a quarterback controversy after a quarterback was injured and the backup did well, people say, like, oh, I hate that. But everyone else is like, that's actually a good thing. That means you have a great backup. This is a great thing.
Yeah.
That means that Nagby and Pulisic, we all know, can come in and play really well. But we're like, let's just wait and see what these guys can do. Because it's not like they were in dire need of them the way we felt during and after the Colombia match.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't console me after that match unless you could provide me proof that Nagby and Pulisic were going to start. Nagasic, as we like to say.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to start, you know, and now I don't know that necessarily we need them to start right away. You know, I kind of like what we have. I do think that if you brought them into the Paraguay match, they would have been able to offer a little bit more on a counter and maybe would have been able to put that away, but maybe they're not defensively as strong as the players we had out there. So you play both sides of the coin. It's so frustrating. Oh my God. This is why you and I don't manage our national team.
Yeah. I mean, and that the Paraguay match could have easily been 2-0 if Jazzy Zardes knew what to do with the ball when he got it in the box. I mean, too many touches. I don't know why I said touches.
I don't know either.
Too many touches.
It's touch and tushes all in one.
Look, Jazzy hasn't been terrible where you're like, he shouldn't be starting, but it's, I don't know. I was listening to Hercules Gomez talk about this, and he was basically saying he thinks Jazzy Zardes is in his head.
Yeah.
He thinks he's just like,
I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, and you could tell in the next few matches, his passes were a little light in some instances because even he's worried about his touch, you know? So
he's definitely not as fluid. He's not really like a loose fluid kind of player either. He's speed. He goes fast in one direction, but it's not.
He does put his head down and get there.
Yeah, he's not a particularly smooth guy.
You're not playing with LA Galaxy. You don't have, you know, the fans aren't here to see. They didn't pay to see you and Gio. They're here to see a win. And when you have to get those 3 points, you know, the LA Galaxy fans would never boo him. He's a homegrown player. Mm-hmm. He has life too good. Now you come into the national team. We're the only country where the national team is treated like a club and clubs are treated like national teams. We're the only country in the world where that happens. So I'm excited to see that, you know, he's at least, there's pressure being put on him because I feel like he needs more of that. Way, way more.
I agree. And I think before we get into the second segment, we just want to pour. We just got to pour out a caipirinha for Brazil because, boy.
Ouch.
Brazil. The Brazil. Five stars.
Dunga. Gone.
Dunga. What a collapse.
Well, I mean, you know, look, I know Neymar wasn't playing, but Neymar's not going to do it all for you.
Brazil is out of the Copa America Centenario, the tournament that they were like, no, not even, let's not put Neymar in there.
We'll be fine without him.
We'll be fine without him. It's not even let's not even respect this tournament.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you get kicked out. We're like, oh, we got to fire the manager. This makes us look really bad.
This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be much better than everyone. And also, the whole world is watching.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't Copa America that people didn't even know existed in Europe. This is official. The U.S. is involved. Mexico brings the fans to watch.
It was a controversial. The third match for Brazil was against Peru. It was very controversial.
Yeah, there was a couple things that happened there. And primarily, somebody, Thierry Henry'd a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit of a handball goal.
A little mano de Dios.
Somebody said it was the hand of Satan. Really tough if you're a Brazil fan. It's tough to hear that.
Peru scored the only goal of the match on a clear handball. I mean, it was all the replays are clearly there.
Yeah. He did fake it really well to make it look like it was his knee and thigh.
He did. He faked it as good as a woman in bed. You know, right. Like really, he just wanted to get this over with.
Thank you.
It was believable.
Yeah.
You know,
he immediately picks up her cell phone. What's she typing? She's making a note of how awesome this was.
But Peru's Raul Rui Diaz. It was a cross and it went off. I would say
his hand was like along his thigh.
So parallel basically with his thigh.
And he lifted it up and he kind of swung his thigh, but really used his hand.
Yeah, his hand basically directed the ball to his thigh and then off his thigh, or it might have been reversed. One of the other.
I think he just slapped it with his hand, but made it look like it was his thigh.
It did touch his thigh, but
it's hard to tell.
It wouldn't have happened without the help of his arm.
Yeah, his without his hand
clear,
or his arm,
clear handball.
No, yeah.
The referee and the linesman debated it for about 3 minutes. It was about 3 to 4 minutes discussing if this was a goal.
Which I don't know how that comes out of goal.
How's that come out of goal? Yeah.
There's a lot of memes now where they're like, wait, how much did Peru pay us? Okay, goal. You know, there's a lot of memes that came out of it. You know, maybe people just don't want to see Brazil win this. There's a big, big, big conspiracy theory that this is all set up for Mexico to win because they have the biggest fan draw power.
Yeah.
And, you know, you watch some of these games and you're like, like some of their matches feels like a lot of their calls are going their way. Things are really going their way. Knockout one of the big, but Argentina's still in it. Argentina's
how dominant. Dude.
Yeah. I mean, they are the class of, and I hate saying this because we've all met Argentinian people, but they really are soccer wise, the class of South America and North America. They are the Americas. It's going to be exciting to watch moving forward.
Yeah, quarterfinals.
Peru looks really good. Yeah. So.
Quarterfinals today. Watch those. They're going to be great. We'll talk about them next week. And next up in the second segment, we're going to talk about the Euros. Euro 2016.
You know, if anybody's still alive after Russia has killed them, Russian fans have killed them, we're going to talk about them. How's that sound?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe by the time we record this segment, Russia might not even be in the Euros. So.
They might not, actually. Well, they just had another dust-up. Can we call it a dust-up at this point? Why don't we come back? If we're still alive, maybe Russian fans are walking towards us as we speak. We'll be right back after these commercials, hopefully, and we'll talk about Euros. Hey, what's up, guys? This is Alexis Guerrero. So I'm one of the Cooligans, and I just want to talk to you guys real quick about On The Volley Apparel. Really cool clothing brand based out of Southern California. They're LA Galaxy fans, but do not hold it against them. Right now, I'm wearing the most comfortable hoodie, and I'm not making that up, the most comfortable pullover hoodie I've ever owned, and it's got the Wu-Tang logo on the front with a soccer pitch inside of it. If you go to our Instagram, you're going to see some of the photos of it. It's absolutely some of the coolest stuff I've ever had. I want you guys to go check them out on Instagram.
Instagram at On The Volley Apparel, O-N-T-H-E-V-O-L-L-E-Y Apparel is A-P-P-A-R-E-L. Check them out. Their website is VA Football Club, VAFootballClub.com. Check them out. Absolutely awesome clothing. Such cool style. Buy some of that stuff. Really support them because these guys are doing a great job producing some really, really awesome stuff. And we absolutely love all of their stuff. And I think you guys are really going to love it too. Again, check out that Wu-Tang. They even have that in a t-shirt. So I know it's starting to be summer. It's going to get nice and hot. Buy yourself a dope t-shirt. I wore it on stage the other day and people kept asking me where I got it. It's pretty dope. I think everyone's going to love it. I think you will too. Check them out on the Volley Apparel.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. We're talking Euros, the European Championship.
We're now in Europe.
We are in Paris at the moment. Yeah,
that's right. We're in Lille. and we're a little excited to talk about this. Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
I said it.
Oh, man. We were talking about, the comparison between Copa America and Copa America Centenario and the Euros. And, yeah. Copa America is a little bit spicier right now.
Copa America has a little bit extra sazón.
That's right.
They save the excitement for on the pitch. In Euros, they've decided, why don't we make it exciting off the pitch? And by exciting, I mean, why don't we break English people's brains?
Yeah. They basically said, how can we get the taste of English food... immortalized as a soccer game.
Yeah, how could we mimic the flavor of traditional Irish food?
Yeah.
In the form of soccer. And I think they did it. They made it slow, dull, boring, and for some reason boiled. I can tell you that it is still exciting, even though it has, I would say, started a little slower.
Yeah.
Still really exciting, unless you're an England fan. I mean, what a terrible way to start. You know, and it's funny, England and Portugal. Well, I mean, England being England, Portugal being Portugal being Portugal.
The teams you sort of expect, especially in the group stage, should be a little stronger.
Yeah, but isn't this is standard? I mean, you haven't paid attention to a ton of international English stuff because I'm an Arsenal fan. I've paid that. This is what they do, man.
Yeah.
You said that they were going to win.
I said that I expected a little bit more.
They are right now in third place in Group B. Not a great place to be.
They're not playing. I was basing that prediction on really how they looked in the international friendlies before. The prep for the Euros, and they looked good. And
which is the biggest mistake you can do when you're talking about England.
And they were mixing up the lineup. You know, where is Vardy, Kane? You know, Dele Alli. There's all this young talent. So you sort of expect quite a bit.
Vardy not starting, not even substituted in. How about this, Kane? Taking corners.
Yeah, very strange.
How does that make any sense? You have a tall, good striker that's good in the air. And what do? You make him take the corners?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Dyer taking free kicks, which he scored a goal. Which is cool, but... How
he also scored on a bullet as opposed to there was no finesse to it. It wasn't a pie yet.
What does it say about the quality of the free kick takers on the England squad if Eric Dyer is your go-to guy?
Yeah. Dyer had a great season.
That's not a thing you think of. When you think of him, you don't think of that.
No, I think of an enforcer type of guy, you know?
Yeah.
And then when you bring a player on, you bring in James Milner, who's just... giving the ball back at every step of the way. What is happening if you're Roy Hodgson? What English mafia has come to you and said, these are the boys that have to play?
Yeah, you just sort of expect a little more. But England, in their opening match against Russia...
They were winning.
They were winning the majority of the match, and they looked better.
And Russia didn't look great, but Russia didn't have to because they realized they were playing against England, which they will give you a chance to win.
So... after the Dyer goal, final minutes of the game. I want to say his name correctly. Vasily Berezutsky.
Well, then you should have had someone else say his name.
Vasily Berezutsky. Yeah, I've been watching the Americans. I got my Russian is pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, so you're okay. We're good then. We're fine.
Yeah.
No need for a translator. We got it, guys. Let's go to Brighton Beach and order a couple sandwiches. Look. They had the one thing that's funny about the game of Russia versus England is how much more comfortable Russia seemed in the final third. It seems like they had a lot less pressure on them than England. England was like trying to score, but like afraid of who would take the shot. Do you get it to Kane? Who takes it? What do you do? Sterling looks sometimes like garbage in international play. You can tell he's a kid.
Yeah, I think there's something to, you know, just English people, English self-deprecation. You know, it's like confidence is not allowed. Yeah. You know, it makes everyone uncomfortable.
Like, so you have to be stoic, but stoic in understanding you're going to fail.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to be confident in your failure.
Yeah, because it's a familiar feeling. There's something to, even in the culture, it's like, right. Oh, well, nothing good can happen.
Hodgson is talking about, like, we're going to pick ourselves back up. And we're going to do it in the next match. They're like, dude, the game hasn't started yet. Why is this your pre-match speech?
Yeah, yeah. This is not really inspiring. Yeah. Yeah, this isn't like Rudy or something. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It seems like you're reading dialogue from the end of the movie, or at least the middle.
Yeah. So how great would have that opening victory been for England? That would have been very...
They needed it.
They needed it and that is a team you should win against.
Wales looks so much better than they used to. Slovakia got a result against Russia. I mean, you can't let these teams... If you're English, and if you're an England fan, England, as they like to say, if you're an England fan and Slovakia and Wales, as it sits right now, are the ones that are going to come out of these groups, you have to consider that a major failure.
Yeah.
If you're English. If you're an English fan, you probably expect it. You'll probably have a bunch of jokes about it, a couple songs. Fine. But that has to go down as a massive failure. How long is Roy Hodgson going to be allowed to man this ship? When my mother starts, like, you know, driving her car into other cars while she's trying to park, that's when we take the license away from her, okay? This is what's happening.
Yeah, you think if they don't make it out of the group stage, is it going to be a hashtag fire Hodgson kind of thing?
It would probably be like sack Hodgson. And if that's not already a hashtag, I can't. Look at what happened to Dunga in a competition that they didn't care about. England cares about these Euros, man. This is no joke for them.
So they gave up a goal. The game ended in a draw. They gave up a goal to Berezutsky on a header that really seemed like, look, Chris Smalling, he is a world-class center back. We know that.
Great center back.
Tough. I forgot. I think Vardy, was it Vardy who said that he felt Chris Smalling was the most difficult person to get by? Like, he was the strongest defender in the Premier League.
Right.
So
future Arsenal striker, Jamie Vardy, please.
Exactly.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But he looked like there was a lack of effort. I mean, the ball was headed into the box, and he gave up on it. I mean, I think he gave up on it too soon.
It seemed to me like he thought the keeper was going to come out, or maybe, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what to explain that, because it's like this thing that we constantly talk about, and we're going to talk about Portugal in a second, but they're the same thing. It seems like at the last second, there's going to be a mistake, like just a lapse of judgment and it's going to cost them a goal every time.
Yeah.
And if you're an England fan, you cannot be excited. I know their fans are out there like enjoying themselves and stuff and doing all that. You can't be happy right now. You have to be happy with the fact that maybe beer is a bit colder and that you're near a beach. You know, like, you can't be happy of what's happening on the pitch because it looks terrible.
Yeah. And it didn't make things better after the match in the stands.
When Russian fans decided, let's go shake hands with the other. And by shake, I mean close hands.
Yeah, there was a big scuffle, as they say, in the stand in Paris. It was in Marseille. It was in Marseille.
Yeah, absolutely atrocious. They chase after innocent fans.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't mention this at the beginning of the podcast, but, you know, all thoughts, obviously, to the families in Orlando. And a bunch of people that have also been injured it's senseless, you know, and if the Russians are moments away from being suspended or expelled out of this competition, they're going to host a World Cup. You know, everyone's talking about the heat in Qatar that might kill fans and players and coaches and managers. None of them might be left alive if after the World Cup in Russia.
Yeah.
Because these fans, they didn't come to see a soccer game. And look, I've defended, you know, hooliganism and all of this stuff in the past because I say, like, it's a socioeconomic issue. And, you know, unfortunately, it's a part of the game for some people. And you kind of got it. And England did a great job of weeding it out. You know, I sent pictures of like the first dust up. I sent it to a friend of ours, Asher, from England. And he responded with, "What of it? What of it?" And I was like, look at this guy's face. He's completely bloodied and he's drinking a beer. There's no shirt, blood, blood all over the front of his chest. And he put, "You know, as Brits, we're always up for a good ruck." What is happening? This isn't Margaret Thatcher's England anymore.
Yeah, it's so normal. Yeah. It doesn't even, I mean, you've been talking about Orlando, that sort of comparison, which is sort of what's happening here, where whenever we have another mass shooting, it doesn't affect us emotionally.
Like, we're done now.
We're like, oh, okay, again?
Where did it happen? Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and as comedians, I mean, I worry a little bit, you know, we're out in the open.
Yeah, yeah.
We're the one with the spotlight on us in one of those rooms, you know, someone decides to come in, you know, we might be the first thing that they shoot at. And obviously the fans, I don't want the fans to get injured, but if some of them have to take a bullet for my career, that's just what's going to have to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my wife talks about it all the time. I, you know, it's one of those things that we're very conscious of. But beyond that, we also go to soccer matches. And now that too?
Yeah.
You know, plus my pizza habit. Is there anything that's not there to kill me?
it's not a good sight to see. And at that scale, it's when you see hundreds of people fighting each other, you're like, come on, this is what this
Millwall versus Birmingham City. Go kill yourselves in the streets. No one is watching in the world. Everyone in the world is watching this. The U.S. is trying to get another World Cup. I mean, you know.
And so, you know, FIFA has been very strict. They did I forgot the exact title. It's a suspended disqualification.
Yeah. So, like, it's like hanging over their heads.
Yeah. Basically. So if you mess up again, you are out of this tournament.
It's your mom turning around going,
one more time.
And I am turning this car around.
Imagine Russia gets expelled from this tournament. And England still doesn't make it. Well, how would they feel?
Hilarious. And then what you need is you kind of wish Russia had beaten you and had won against Slovakia so that they would be top of the table so that when they get expelled, you can march right in.
Yeah.
Which would be the most English way of getting through the group stages. And they would be like, well, we still made it. You know, all right, things happen.
So very disappointing to see. Hopefully that changes. I mean, even throughout some of the other games, there's been an outpouring of very public affection and love between the two countries.
Primarily Ireland seems to be everyone's best friend.
Yeah, they're hugging everybody. They're kissing
men. They're having parties. they're hugging up on the announcers for other stations. It's a lot of fun if you're watching the videos. Don't watch any of the English videos. Find yourself some of the Irish videos. They're having a great time out there. Those boys in green are really enjoying themselves. And why not? Thierry Henry didn't stop them from getting through with a handball. They're really enjoying themselves. if you're a Portuguese fan, you are not enjoying yourself. Cristiano Ronaldo, again, didn't look great in the Champions League final. Seems to have carried that form to the Euros.
Ronaldo, you know, Iceland even said, this is a big deal for Iceland. It's the first time in the Euros.
10% of their population came to France.
I wish you would just end it right there. 10% of the
100% of their population came. Babies were like, what is that in his diaper?
Yeah, so it's a big deal for them.
Huge.
And a big result for Iceland. 1-1 against Portugal. That's a big deal. So Ronaldo did not have his best game, you know, and I think his best game was probably a decade ago. Who knows when?
this is his last Euro in what we would consider in the right age for a peak form. He's 31 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is it. And he's not showing well. And this is the thing that's got to frustrate him. You know, Messi is playing with a much better squad as he sort of has developed versus Ronaldo still with the same level of people around him.
Yeah. You know, Portugal hasn't made that many sort of improvement, except
why can't they just start taking some of the Brazilian players?
Renato Sanchez,
incredible,
very
player.
Good. Yeah, but he got subbed in, and man, he's fast. He
knows what he's doing with that ball.
He's young though. I think he's like 19.
He Manchester 18. United, if I'm not mistaken. Who did he go to? Or Manchester United tried to get him?
No, Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich. That's right. Manchester United put in an offer and he said no.
Yeah.
Which, you know, surprised because, you know, Ronaldo has loved Manchester United his whole life. Surprised that he would do that. You know, you figured he would be able to lend a talk, but I'm glad he didn't. So we don't have to fight him as Arsenal fans. We don't have to play him.
But It was a great game. Not too, you know, you sort of expected Iceland to just pretty much get defeated here, but they scored a great goal, a long cross, and I you know, his name had like all these weird characters.
It ends in sun.
It ends in sun. I know right. that.
Just like there's the prince symbol is in there somewhere. It's a bit much.
Yeah. When they were making the jerseys, the person that was putting the letters like, well, we don't have get more stat. We need some extra wiggly lines above the O.
Just get me a bunch of S's and sticks. I mean sticks. It's there's accents all over the place. Very hard to understand. But this is what's their population? Their population, I think, is less than a million people as a country.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And, you know, we talk about this all the time. I always bring up Uruguay because they're the ninth up until this tournament. They were the ninth in the world and they have 3.5. New York City has 8.5.
We got nobody.
Okay. There's more people living in a building in Midtown than there are in Iceland.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. 169th FC. Yeah, I know that team. They're a good team.
They're great. Yeah. 385 Fifth Ave FC. Boy, they are strong. A lot of older Jewish men in there, but they've learned how to play as a unit, which is, I think, is important.
10010 United. Yeah, that's my favorite team.
Yeah. Old 212 FC. Sporting 212.
Oh man,
here's the thing about like these Euros and these competitions is like Albania, like they may not have won, but they came to play.
Yeah,
Iceland, they may not have won, but they drew, but they came to play. They're going to play you hard. You can't waltz through any of these. They qualified. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. We talked about
that's
this
hard enough.
USA versus Paraguay. I'm like, oh, but it's Paraguay, but they qualified.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're still here.
The one thing exciting about the Portugal-Iceland game was the shit talk right after.
Oh, Ronaldo was like, you know, I'm a grown-ass man. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel.
Ronaldo said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he basically said, oh, these guys were celebrating like they won the Euro, and all they got was a draw. That shows that they're a weak team, and they're not going anywhere, which is, that's a...
He said it's a small mentality.
It's a small mentality. And that is... When you say that, there's a difference between saying that about like Sporting Gijón, you know?
Yeah.
You could
say what you want, dog.
It's a little whatever, you know, you're sort of antagonizing their fans and whatever. But when you say this about Iceland, first time in this tournament, which is such a huge, it's a big deal when it comes to national pride, and you're basically saying, yo, your country's weak, dog. Like, you're not gonna. Who invited you? Why are you here? Like, who do you know here?
You got to walk up and smack them now. You can't let them get away with that.
That is one of those.
Come on, Iceland.
Yo, that is one of those things where Iceland's gonna be like, yo, dog. Next time I see you,
yeah, I know. I don't care how many of your compatriots are with you, dog. It's on. Like, I may swing one and run, but it's on.
So
they are some old, pale, angry white ladies. And Cristiano, and let me read to you exactly what he said, because I don't necessarily disagree with the beginning. It takes a turn. Mm-hmm. Let me see if you can figure out where. Iceland didn't try anything. Whined the Portuguese captain, it says here on The Guardian. They were just defend, and playing on the counterattack. It was a lucky night for them. We should have 3 points, but we are okay. I thought they'd won the Euros the way they celebrated at the end. It was unbelievable. When they don't try to play, just defend, this, in my opinion, shows a small mentality, and they are not going to do anything in the competition.
Yeah, that's... It's not.
It was like, oh, you're okay. You're smart. I think we're going to be okay. You're showing confidence. All of a sudden, they're a small mentality.
Yeah.
Why you acting all big, dog? You didn't win nothing.
Yeah.
Which I kind of got to agree with him. But at the same time, it's like, this is a big moment.
But it really says a lot more about his ego responding in that way.
Yeah, of course.
It's really just like, they know they should have won that game. So, and you didn't play well enough to win. So you have to give some credit to your opponent, or if you know what, if you don't want to give any credit to your opponent, fine. But you have to speak negatively about yourself and be realistic about that. Like, you didn't work hard enough to get those 3 points.
It did show a lack of tact.
Yeah. Bad.
That said,
this is for the team that didn't make it out of the group stage in the World Cup.
Yeah.
So who is he to talk?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. By small, dog, you didn't make it anywhere. If I remember, the U.S. was riding nice and high.
And I think Iceland's even a bigger country than Portugal.
Near.
It's not
nowhere near. Landmass, yes.
Okay,
but it's like mountains.
Yeah,
It's there's Game of Thrones and then Reykjavik is what it is. There's the wall, the northern wall.
Yeah.
That's in Reykjavik. Yeah. But you didn't know that is that's Trump would be very happy.
Yeah, it's all White Walkers over there.
Nothing but White Walkers. Well, that's actually pretty true when you think about it. It was a fun match to watch, and you got to be. And also, by the way, as USA fans. The way that he scored that header against us in the last second, we definitely would have had a much better showing in the World Cup if we would have held on for another 20 seconds against Ronaldo and Portugal. It was kind of nice to see them draw, you know?
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. Catch it back a little bit.
the Euros themselves, the host team, France, has looked look good. They're they're definitely the strongest in the competition. They look, I mean, obviously every match is a home game, but they look good. The opening match, France against Romania, France won 2-1, a goal by Giroud. Giroud
playing well.
Playing well.
I think he has 8 goals in the last 8 matches.
Yeah, so Benzema's not there, but Giroud is trying his best to fill.
Benzema's watching sex tapes and calling his friends, getting money.
He's trying to fill those boots, you know, Romania ended up tying. Most of the game was tied, I guess, most of the second half. And then Dimitri Payet. Wow. He is.
How much skill does this boy have?
He is he's the James Rodriguez of this Euros, you know, like compared to the World Cup. James, that's what he his name.
Showed the whole world.
Yeah, he showed the whole world what he can do. And that immediately got him on Real Madrid. And Dimitri Payet is. He got to the French national team kind of later than most people. I think he got dismissed for a long time.
Yeah.
And he is really letting everybody know why he deserves to be there.
And, you know, he's on West Ham, which you and I had this conversation before, and I want to put it to you, the fans. If you're listening, our email is soccercooligans@gmail.com. Email us and let us know what you think of this next topic, because here's what I think. I think he's too good for West Ham. And I know how that sounds, and no disrespect to West Ham. Bilic is doing a great job. I think you guys have a lot of talent. I don't think West Ham is the appropriate style of football for his talents. I'm not saying he needs to go to Barcelona, and maybe this is a bit biased, but I feel like his talents should be more of a fluid club. Like an Arsenal. It doesn't have to be Arsenal, but like an Arsenal, like a Barcelona, even maybe something that's a bit more fluid of a counterattacking style. Like he reminds me of like Mahrez a bit in Leicester City, but much more skilled.
Yeah, he's a little bit more of a stocky, kind of strong. He's a little stronger.
Strong, fast, agile. But yeah, Mahrez is a couple of sticks out there.
But his ability to, his free kicks, I mean.
His dead ball skill
they've been
bar none.
Absolutely magical. If you watch the Premier League season, 15-16, unreal.
He is Pirlo-esque. And there he does things.
But he has a string on the ball. I mean.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
He does things that physics are like, hold up.
Yeah.
Wait, we gotta.
Wait, where'd you learn? Yeah. How'd you do that? Who?
dig up Einstein. We need someone to just look at this and tell us what is happening out
yeah,
there.
Yeah. So look, he did it in the Premier League. He's doing it on the world stage. And it's good to see. I mean, he had a late winner in the opening match. And I think after he scored that goal, I mean, he was like in tears.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, he's getting a chance with his country and
beautiful to see.
Incredible.
He's so happy. He's happy to be there.
What is his potential? Those are the two questions I think I have for the fans. Do you think he's too good to be on West Ham? And what do you think his potential? Some people are saying he could be as good as like a Zidane in the midfield for this club.
Yeah.
For this nation, I should say. I can't disagree. He would look amazing on Real Madrid. He would look amazing on Atletico Madrid even. And I know that sounds, well, they play a bit more of a rougher.
You want to see him. I would say he deserves to be in a Champions League squad. I mean, he's that good.
Maybe West Ham has that opportunity next year. They keep getting better. They're going to be in that new stadium. You know, everything seems to be getting bigger and bigger for them. The new badge looks terrible. I'm sorry. Bring back the little castle. That looks terrible. But things are getting different. And maybe they buy players around him that are a bit more fluid and they don't play so much of that Sam Allardyce, you know, old school way of, you know, lumping it forward.
Yeah, West Ham is a tough team. You know, Andy Carroll just, in the box.
That's what I'm saying. Like Andy Carroll. Guerrero, I don't think he scored with his foot. He only scores with his head. Even penalty kicks, the guy runs up and, you know, heads it. Like, well, he's not that type of guy that's just, you know, he's not going to finesse anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're playing Arsenal, in which case they do.
But yeah, so the last team we want to cover, because they were kind of favorites for a lot of people, Belgium. Belgium had their first match.
I wish I could do that noise.
Yeah.
I kind of did it.
Cool. Not bad.
I can't whistle. That was awesome. That was really exciting.
Wow. Look, we all experienced that together, guys. Like,
look at me. Joy. I experienced joy, guys.
Belgium played Italy. Italy won 2-0. And all we can say about Belgium is, what the hell's wrong with Belgium?
I think this is exactly, first of all, this is what every team that Vincent Kompany is around, he must be into voodoo, because the moment he goes down, the team goes with him.
By the way, Vincent Kompany, he's injured. So he's not playing on the squad, but he has been killing it on Twitter.
Incredible.
He's just great talking.
Yeah.
He had a great tweet about if Northern Ireland plays England.
Yeah.
What are they going to play? Both national anthems.
Yeah. Both of the same.
We're both of the same.
Will they both sing it one after another?
Which is a great question.
Yeah. I mean, he's got. You know what? The one thing we don't notice about Vincent Kompany in the stats, his banter. His banter is top
notch. Yeah. You know that. That's a. Yeah. That doesn't make the stat sheet, which it should. Yeah,
which it should. I say he starts in my banter FC. He starts.
But yeah, Belgium lost 2-0. Italy. Italy is Italy. I mean,
dude, defensively, man, there's a video of sort of like a bird's eye view from one goal to the other. So you could see them moving as a unit. They have been cutting off the supply line for passes in the middle like nothing I've ever seen. And this is what Chelsea's going to look like next year, by the way.
Yeah. Conte after Conte.
Yeah. I mean, if this is how they play. It's literally like the back line is just passing it back and forth to each other. There's just no way in. You can't break them down. It was very impressive.
It was a great moment during the match that they call Antonio Conte yelling at his players after Lukaku had a good chance, but he missed.
Very supportive yelling, though, right?
he was repeatedly yelling, "I will kill you, I will kill you." Which is like, yeah, that's the kind of support you need from your manager. Yeah.
We should probably play a little harder.
Yeah. Let's make sure Antonio Conte is not like, you know, at the academy with the youth teams. Yeah, yeah.
Let's keep him away from the youth just for a little bit.
It might be a little too rigid, a little rough for them.
Yeah. Let him eat one of those California cookies or Denver cookies before he goes and talks to the kids. Seems a little tense.
Chill out a bit. The goal, there was a goal from the second goal.
Yeah.
From Graziano Pelle.
Incredible.
I mean, absolutely blasted this ball. And look, just more. Look, I think the without Vincent Kompany, the back line in Belgium is they're gonna have issues. You know,
there's just nothing they can do. Don't look like they can play moving forward.
What's his name? Simon.
From Montreal
Impact.
Montclair, Montreal.
He
Simon from New Jersey.
Look, I think going forward, I believe he's the right back. Going forward, I think he's all right. He can keep up. He's perfect.
He's not a bad plug.
But defensively, you know, he missed the mark. He missed the person he was
ball
probably
watching.
Marking. Yeah. And they gave up that first goal. And the second goal, you know, whatever. Like, it was a great strike, but there's nothing anybody could have done.
A
lot of miscommunication. And you sort of just expect more from Belgium. Belgium is not really playing like a team. You know, they have Hazard. Hazard, he can weave through a couple players until he reaches the center backs, and they're gonna, you know, knock the ball away from him. But you expect a lot more from him from De Bruyne, and it's not happening. And when your center forward is Romelu Lukaku, there's gonna be a lot of missed shots. So
a couple of birds are gonna die. Fellaini just looks like what everyone thought he would look like, you know, just like if he didn't
like
continue.
If Carrot Top was blonde?
Yeah. Someone put up a picture of Big Bird and Fellaini and it just said, got him. Yeah, it did. Like everyone who said like, oh, when Fellaini goes to Manchester United, this is what's going to happen. He's going to fail. He doesn't have that. Yeah, I mean, this is exactly who he is now. It seems like Fellaini's only good when he's forward and waiting for the ball to get lumped up. He's what would happen. He's Andy Carroll if Andy Carroll stuck his finger in an electric socket. Just a big, poofy hand. It's embarrassing to watch, and I have a friend who put $1,500 down on Belgium. He doesn't know a lot about soccer. Well, he's learning a lot about soccer now, boy. because I told him, I'm like, dude, you're making a huge mistake. Even Eden Hazard, which the greatest goal that I think I've seen scored against Tottenham, other than Thierry Henry's famous goal in slide. He's a step too slow.
Well, look, I think their issues with Belgium are systematic. I think that with the team, tactically, they're just not playing correctly, or they're not playing with any real synchronicity.
Is that a word?
It is a word.
It is now, boy. I like it. I like that you're inventing words, or that I'm too stupid to know it's a word. I agree with you. They don't look like they've ever played together. And, you know, for a team that was everyone's dark horse a couple years ago, and, you know, they've shown up, and each of their players play pretty well for their clubs as a country. Man, come on, Belgium.
Yeah.
What are you doing? First of all, you speak the language. You're in France. You know, but you figure you'd be able to get along a little better.
It really makes that that loss in the World Cup to Belgium even worse for the U.S.
Yeah, it's a lot.
They don't look good. So all the people who thought they were gonna, you know, crush at this tournament.
Sorry, Stash.
one person is losing $1,500.
Who's just walking around going, "What the hell?"
Every time he eats a Belgian waffle, he's just furious.
Yeah, it's just Liège waffle. He's just like smashing it in his hands. It just doesn't even taste sweet anymore.
All right, everybody. So we'll end this segment. We'll go into our third segment, Cooligan's Corner, and we'll talk about some of the stories that went under the radar this last week. So we'll see you in the next segment for Cooligan's Corner.
Cooligan's Corner.
We have a winner of the Cooligans USA competition. Thank you everyone who sent us your videos. Absolutely amazing. Beautiful moments for the USMNT. Hopefully in this Copa, we've made a couple more.
And I would like to announce the winner of the Cooligans USA Roughneck Scarf is Michael McLeod. Follow him on Twitter at Delta1834. Thank you, Michael, for participating.
Thank you, Roughneck Scarves, for helping us and sending Michael McLeod his brand new USMNT scarf.
And support USMNT in the Copa America Centenario. Congrats, Michael McLeod of the McLeod Clan.
USA!
USA! USA!
Cooligan's Corner.
Cooligan's Corner. Corner. Corner.
Corner.
Corner kick. Cooligan's Corner kick.
Cooligan's Corner kick. There goes Harry Kane. We don't need him in the middle. We don't need him in the box.
No. He's here to lead off the Cooligan's Corner stories.
Just like his girl when she has a headache, you don't need him in the box.
Wow. Yeah, it was a little bit of a reach, but we did it.
I said it, and I stand by it.
A couple fun things going on throughout this summer of soccer.
Yeah, we talked about a couple things, but there's a couple more.
There's a couple more. A couple stories. If you're watching the Copa America, Argentina against Bolivia, which is like, why even have this fixture?
Because why?
You don't need this one.
You know what you do? You tell Bolivia, here's what we're going to do. We're going to say it was 3-0. You guys don't get injured. You go home. You relax.
And you know what? Bolivia takes that deal.
Yeah.
That's a good Bolivia, deal.
Because what else you can do, Bolivia? We'll allow you to come in and watch Messi train. You stand there. He'll sign some autographs.
Yeah. Just, we'll give you 5 minutes of watching Messi on the elliptical. That's a good deal.
That's not bad.
That's not a bad deal.
We're going to put commercials on it. Yes, that's going to get a bigger draw.
But Argentina played against Bolivia. Last I checked, the score was, maybe 8 or 9-0. I mean,
I believe the score is who gives a shit. Argentina is winning.
Argentina won by a lot. But there was a great moment when there was a pass to Messi. It turned out to be offsides, but the play was kind of fast, so they didn't know if it was offsides. That they didn't call it very quickly.
Messi near the goal, over by the touchline, over by the back line.
He was by one of the posts, basically. Yeah. So he traps the ball. The keeper goes to chase the ball, and this is. I mean, you want to look like an N1 mixtape video. Yeah. I mean, this was
the equivalent of someone pulling your shirt over your head while you're defending a 3-point shot. this is what you do. And then right after this happens to you, you take your shirt off, you walk off the pitch,
yeah,
and you tell them we need a new logo and we need to change the country name because I don't want to be associated with what just happened out there. The goalkeeper got nutmegged.
The goalkeeper got he was reaching for the ball. He was basically going to the ground. He's trying to, you know, when anyone is trying to guard Messi, it could be a center back, it could be a right back, anybody, it doesn't matter, a fullback. They get a little tense. They get a little nervous.
Yeah, you got it. You got to keep, you know, you got to keep a little distance because he could turn at any moment.
Exactly.
So what does he decide to do? Meg the keeper.
This is not a thing you see very often.
Embarrassing.
But it also, it was so deliberate.
Oh.
Just like Messi was like, you know what? You know, he woke up that morning and was like, hey, you know what? I think I'm gonna make the keeper.
You know what I haven't done yet?
Yeah, you know these. I mean, you know what? I missed the first match.
Yeah.
Let me just kind of make up for it.
I know I scored a hat trick in all of 17 seconds after I was substituted in the second match. But let's give him something else to talk about on the internet. Let me Meg the keeper. I wish it wasn't offside. It would have been absolutely. Oh
my God. I knew it would have been a tap-in goal. If but imagine that. Whole sort of scenario going through, receiving the ball in the box. Again, your back line, what the hell were they thinking?
Watching the Bolivian fans in the stands trying to get their Argentinian passports so they can get... what do you do? Yeah. What do you do? Can't go back home?
Then a nutmeg, then into the...
Your wife and you say, honey, I can't come home.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
That is one of those, you know, when like, you know, that meme of all the, you know, they usually put it up after like somebody gets like cut up or whatever, and where all the black dudes are like,
burn.
Yeah, that's what would have happened. Like, yeah, even the Bolivian players would be like, yo, dog, I don't...
I ain't going in goal next.
So, yeah, if you haven't seen the clip, watch it. It is Messi's just a surgeon out there. And
hey, cutting everybody up.
Argentina, I believe they're playing Peru?
I believe so. I'll look that up.
I think they're playing Peru. So, look, the U.S. is playing Ecuador. If Ecuador gets through, and we know... I mean, if the U.S. gets through, Argentina will probably get through, and they will meet in the
Argentina's
same...
Argentina's playing Venezuela.
Venezuela. So they'll...
look out, Venezuela keeper.
It's looking like the U.S., if all goes well, we might be facing Argentina in the semifinal.
Which would be very exciting and very fun to watch.
Yeah.
But we got to get through Ecuador first. What else is going on out there?
Also, speaking of Messi, Lionel Messi, the game was in Chicago, and he... got to train with the Chicago Academy from the Chicago Fire.
What an absolute honor it is for Messi to be able to train with the Chicago Fire Academy.
He was pretty proud. He was like, thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Yeah, it's, again, lifelong dream of his to train with the Chicago Fire Academy.
But you see videos like this of, you know, young players when Messi comes to the States.
Right.
And then they either, like, you know, they meet him, they get to see him train, they get to just, you know, if you're wearing soccer boots and you are around Messi and you have the opportunity just to, like, even receive a pass from him, like,
when you kick a pass and he's on the other end of it, that's got to be incredible.
That's what a feeling. So, like, bravo. I'm good on Messi to you know, to show up and do that for them. I mean, that's his version of
you know, he walked away and in Spanish he was like, what orphanage was that? what
why are those kids so sooty?
Why is this pizza so big?
Oh man. So another thing, in Los Angeles.
Why are those kids so sweaty?
No, I said sooty.
Oh, okay.
Sooty, like they have like soot on their face. Yes. Little dirty little kids.
These are sweaty. Like, wait, they were playing soccer? No, sooty. I was. What were they?
Sooty little kids.
Sooty.
Anyway, LA Galaxy, U.S. Open Cup is going on at the moment.
Absolutely. LA Galaxy, a favorite in the MLS.
Look, we don't really talk about the U.S. Open Cup because we don't know nearly anything about it.
Yeah, we know fuck all about the U.S.
It is our FA Cup, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And actually, I think it's been... No, it has not been going on longer than the FA Cup.
But it has been going on for quite a while.
Quite a while. Very exciting. I think last year was their 100th year, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Very.
So it's the U.S. Open Cup Centenario plus one.
Yeah, Centenario y uno. All one word. Very exciting. This is a great chance for your lower league teams.
Exactly.
Because there is no promotion and relegation. They don't get to go up. So for them, this is their big shining moment.
Exactly.
The winner gets to go in the CONCACAF Champions League, which... Obviously, the Champions League in Europe is their version of the CONCACAF Champions League, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. They're trying to mimic us, obviously.
But the LA Galaxy played against, bitter rival. La Máquina.
La Máquina. We're not changing the name.
That is the name.
And if you watch the clip of what we're about to talk about, you get to hear the announcer go, La Máquina.
Yeah, they have the accent mark in the wrong vowel.
Yeah.
So they have to
figure. Does not understand it. And it is. It's La Máquina. It's an amateur team.
Yeah.
So they go to StubHub Center in Carson, California.
And play against maybe next to just maybe a bunch of ghosts. There's really nobody there.
Yeah, there's no one there.
There's no one there.
Obviously, because of fan violence, they didn't allow the fans in. No, that's not it. Although fans were allowed in. Okay.
Yeah, it is a bit of a shame. You think, look, even if just to get to see the LA Galaxy play against a small squad, how much can tickets be? What, 15, 20 bucks?
Yeah, they're very inexpensive.
Watch your team, you know?
No one in the stands. It looked like they were playing it at Rebel Arena.
Yeah, the U.S. Open Cup is not really marketed very well. I mean, it's hard to figure out even when the games are, where to see them.
MLS doesn't have a great relationship with them because it's supporting lower level independent teams. And, you know, MLS is a single entity.
Yeah.
So why give them, you know, the additional? I think MLS does a good job of marketing and talking about when two MLS teams play each other.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they didn't allow the lower, like RB, you know, Red Bull 2 and all those teams aren't allowed to play in it anymore. So, you know, it's like a big deal. But
it's still like
LA Galaxy is a favorite in the MLS. They got to be considered a favorite in the US Open Cup.
Yeah. Right? So there was a controversial moment because in extra time, well, LA Galaxy, why are you in extra time with La Máquina?
Come on. 1-1 tie. What is happening?
And there was a moment, there was a foul, and it was outside the box. And
players on the ground, writhing in pain.
Yeah. Players on the ground. So, this is sort of, I'll just say what happened. Players on the ground, inside the box.
Everyone is paying attention.
Everyone is paying attention to see how, you know, for his well-being.
Right.
And I think it was Villarreal. I don't remember exactly who it was. But he, the ball was on the spot. And instead of, at that moment, usually you would.
I believe it's Hasidic or something like that.
Yeah. Well, at that moment, normally you get the 10 yards to go for a free kick.
Right. Then the other team builds a wall.
Other team builds a wall. Yeah. Everyone gets prepared and, you know, and starts that play after that dead ball. But instead of asking for the wall, he just kicked it right back into play to an open player that was right by the net, and boom, a goal immediately.
Goal.
So now the issue, it's not
There's
illegal.
There's two things here.
Yeah, right? It's not illegal. It's not cheating. It's not.
No. Is it disgraceful? Maybe.
Because there is a player
on the ground. Yes.
There's a player down, and there's also about 9 players from La Máquina checking on him, which is also very strange.
Yeah, and it's also an amateur team. I mean, here's the thing. I get that you were losing and you take every opportunity and very competitive people. I would do the same thing in this situation, but I get where the issue is. Forget that there's a player on the ground. The rule states that the moment the official blows the ball dead and the play or blows the whistle for the play to be reinstated, in other words, the ball is back in action, as long as it's not moving, and I know if you watch the video closely, it moves a couple times, so he should have called this back. Even though this play was not illegal, it's not against the rules, he should have called it back because the ball is moving. But you're allowed to score or move the ball at that point. You're allowed to pass. You're allowed to do whatever you want. The ball is back in play. So Thierry Henry, when he was at Arsenal, he was famous for this. You know, if you listen closely, there's a whistle that happens to blow the ball dead, and then another whistle to like start the action again. Thierry Henry, as soon as he would hear that, he would ask for, you know, your 10 yards. If the other team is not paying attention, or if they ran over to get water and the ball's in play, there's been times where he kicked it right into goal, and that counts.
Yeah.
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, when the Arsenal fans went to Rebel Arena for Thierry Henry when he came back from his loan, I believe he tried that and it banged off the post. So I'm used to seeing it. I know it's like one of those weird rules that not everyone knows about as a fan. You don't want to do that when there's a player on the floor.
Yeah, that's where the sort of...
And it was one of your own players, so it kind of looked like you were like doing it on purpose. It looked like that was like a training ground thing.
Yeah, so that's where the sort of disgrace sort of, you know, kind of comes in, because there is a player down. And I understand that when there is a player down, you don't have to stop play. Either team,
right?
They, you know, sometimes they kick it out of bounds to check on the guy and whatever. But this seems like a moment where the referee saw that there was a player down and you know, and it's not like he gave advantage.
Right.
You know, it was a dead ball. So at a dead ball, like, it seemed like it made sense. He looked like he was hurt. And it seemed like everybody was about to go check on him, but he didn't. He didn't stop play.
Good distraction.
Yeah. So
I want you to know that if I ever play against you, these are the type of things I'm going to be doing. Okay.
I mean, I don't want to necessarily say it's poor refereeing, but it seemed like logically you stop play there and check on the player.
He had every opportunity to stop that play and bring that ball back, and he should have taken it.
Yeah. So look, let us know what you think. What's your opinion? If you see the play, we'll post it on our Twitter. Take a look at it. Let us know what you think. Email us at soccercooligans@gmail.com. Let us know, and we'll talk about it on the air next week. Okay, and two more things. Sepp Blatter, back in the news. He cannot leave. The now defunct FIFA chairman. He's back home.
But he's got things to say, baby.
He has a full beard, just writing in his journal. Just bitterness. But Sepp Blatter, I don't know why anyone is talking to him about this stuff, but apparently it's, you know, now he can spill the beans on all the corruption. But Sepp Blatter accused FIFA of rigging the tournament draws. So if you know, whenever there's the Champions League draw and the teams, you decide who's going to play who.
Right.
They have like those lottery balls and all the balls inside the bucket, and they pick them out and they twist them open and you see who plays who. You know.
Right.
So he is saying that for a strategy to kind of rig the draw to control what teams play who. They would use a tactic where they would freeze the balls.
So that the person putting their hand in.
Yeah, would know that this is a cold ball. So they would freeze some of them and then leave some of them normal. But when you touch a certain ball, you feel that it's cold. So you would know what team it was.
Meaning, like, I'm sure like the cold ones were the better nations.
Yeah. So like make sure
you clubs.
Yeah. Make sure to pick this one. You know, whatever scenario they wanted to create, they were able to do.
Right, 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 right.
Or maybe not allow like the big teams to play each other early, so we can build up to something bigger.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. And again, something they must have learned from the New England Patriots.
Yeah,
changing the temperature.
Yeah, I've always said Tom Brady should not be picking the World Cup draws.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I mean, this
guys,
it's a little fishy.
Just Belichick is wearing a sleeveless hoodie that says UCL on the front of it. No smile on his face. That would be hilarious.
So this is a big accusation, and I mean, this tends to happen with people who get kicked out of whatever corrupt organization. All of a sudden, they become the voice of morality, and now they become these whistleblowers. But I mean, it doesn't sound like a crazy thing for FIFA to do.
I mean,
would
it surprise you? I mean, also, does it really anger you that much? Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, you can get through your group.
So, but it brings up that, you know, just more evidence to stack on top of the Panama Papers for more corrupt.
Couple more Panama Papers over here.
Look, the copier is running out of ink, guys.
Guys, what are we doing?
So it is a big issue. And finally,
They arrest the freezer.
Just
get proof.
It comes out of that Swiss hotel. Yeah. Just, on a dolly.
Strapped on a dolly. They had to strap it down. Must have put up a fight.
Oh, man. Just duck its head into a limo.
That Swiss hotel. Every time they get arrested, it's in that Swiss hotel. Why would you go back in that Swiss hotel? Homie, Holiday Inn, dog.
And finally, if you've been watching the Euros, a bunch of great moments with the managers. But, you know, World Cup champions, Alemania, Germany, mm-hmm. as they say.
Deutschland.
The manager, obviously kind of a stoic guy.
Yeah.
Very strange, sort of strange figure. But
let's say he likes to go digging.
We're learning that Jurgen Löw, for whatever reason, maybe it's like an OCD kind of strange thing. He got caught on camera.
On camera. By the way, it's not like he got caught on camera in the tunnel or in his hotel lobby. He's on the sideline of a match.
Of a match that's being aired around the world.
Around the world. By the way, there's cameras on you at all times. You know that. You're the manager. You know that they're catching your every reaction.
Yeah.
So camera three, on this guy. Every once in a while, they go back to him. They happen to catch him just stick his hand in his pants. Maybe he's adjusting. That's not a problem. He swims around in there for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he pulls it out, sits down, and he does the unthinkable. He puts that hand up to his nose and gives it a little whiff. What's happening downstairs? Oh, that's right. I'm a sweaty mess.
Yeah. It's, you know, if you're watching, even if you're a fan watching a game, you get a little warm. You get a little moist down there.
Yeah. What if you're for the first time, your wife and children have decided they're going to watch soccer with you. You and your German family are sitting there and, oh, kids, that's the manager of the German selection.
Well, you're a little now. I'm going to just...
Die man shaft. I'm just going to... Touching his man shaft.
I'm just going to start calling him Superstar Molly Shannon, where he... Remember, she would put her hands under her armpits and just sniff them.
Close. You missed your armpit by about a foot and a half.
But I don't know if it's like a superstitious thing, a fetish thing. I don't want to know what... what he does to his wife.
Just know that if they win every time he does that, the German fans will be calling for that every time.
Just please.
I would too.
Yeah. So
I'd be like, Jürgen, get your hands in his pants and smell.
It's obviously a good luck charm. Yeah,
get in there.
Everybody stuffing their hands in there.
Roy Hodgson just barreling through people to get his hand in Joachim Löw's pants.
Jürgen Löw's just his crotch will just become like the little stump at the Apollo Theater. You rub it for good luck.
Hilarious.
Everybody gotta do it before the game. We end on that disgusting note. Thank you for listening, everybody.
You guys have been amazing. Don't forget to email us. Let us know if you think if West Ham is good enough for Payet. If not, give us your options as to where he could where he should be playing.
Yeah, and let us know what you think about the LA Galaxy US Open Cup decision to just continue playing the game when there was clearly a man down and everybody is trying to see if he's okay.
Yeah, and that's soccercooligans@gmail.com. Soccercooligans@gmail.com. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
I'm Christian Polanco. Make sure to follow us on all social media at soccercooligans.
Yeah, and look out for more stuff that we're doing with Flama. Hopefully there's going to be more. So go on our Facebook page, hit the like button, go down and search for some of the videos that we've shared of us live on Flama and post in there that you love it and you want to see more. That would absolutely help us out.
It really, really would.
And you know who you'd be helping out? The
Cooligans!